The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be discussing with the Allgemeine Journal's Simone Jacobson, this new study that came out courtesy of the Pew Trust concerning the demography of Jews in America. Some very, some amazing statistics, some concernable statistics. This is definitely worth talking about. The portion of the week is the portion of Lech Lecha. We're continuing with that good Bible story stuff. This is we're dealing with Abraham, and we have a wonderful Hasidic story. Of course, we've got great Jewish music for you. There's a couple of new songs that came out. We've got a very old request. The request isn't old, but they requested a very old song. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke before the UN General Assembly this week. Mr. Netanyahu emphasized prime emphasis was Iran's nuclear program. Ali Mansouri was arrested September 11th in Tel Aviv on suspicion of spying for Iran. Mansouri was carrying photographs of the U.S. embassy. An Israeli court ordered Mansouri to be held in custody for 8 days before charges are brought against him. Israel does not have to charge suspects right away. Russia's anti-terrorist forces killed 5 terrorists, including a prominent warlord, during a raid in the southern province of Dagestan. One of the terrorists killed had been charged with attempted murder on Chabad rabbi Avadya Yaskov last July. Standard & Poor's kept Israel's long-term foreign currency rating at A+. Standard & Poor's forecasts that the government will continue to consolidate government finances and that the impact of security risks on the Israeli economy will remain contained. But they didn't raise it to like A++. Greek's Member of Parliament Nicholas Mikolakiolokios and 10 other members of Greece's Golden Dawn Party were arrested for starting a Nazi party in Greece. The party's flag features a swastika, and the party's platform includes Holocaust denial. Pope Francis I, it didn't occur to me that he was the first one named Francis, but okay. Pope Francis I is scheduled to visit Israel at the start of 2014. Israel's President Shimon Peres visited the pontiff last March, and the two agreed on a return visit before Peres's leave of office. Peres is the oldest leader of a government at 90 years old. Indonesia's last synagogue was destroyed last week. It is not sure if the Beth Shalom synagogue in Surabaya on the island of Java was destroyed by Muslim extremists or by the city itself. The building was built in the early 1800s, when Indonesia was a Dutch colony. About 20 Jews live in Indonesia, home to more than 130 million Muslims. And finally, Nefesh B'Nefesh, we know about that organization that helps Jews get moved to Israel, launched an award to recognize immigrants to Israel from English-speaking countries. The Bonet Zion Prize was established to formally recognize outstanding immigrants who contribute in a significant way towards developing the state of Israel. $10,000 prizes will be awarded in 5 categories: science and medicine, education and nonprofit, Israeli Defense Forces and National Service, entrepreneurship and technology, and culture, sports, and the arts. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program. running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher. Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats, their gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Shel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We're trying to get Simone Jacobson. We're going to talk about this Pew Charitable Trust study, Jewish demography. We'll do that hopefully during this hour. In the meantime, we've got some music for you. This is brand new. Baruch Levine, he's not brand new, but this song, Ufa Ratzta, Let's Spread Out. This is very good for these weeks, as this is where it's taken from in this part of the Bible. Let's spread out to the north, east, south, and west. Let's listen in.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on the line with the Simone Jacobson, who's the editor of the Allgemeine Journal. We're going to be talking about a recent study conducted by the Pew Trust on Jewish demography here in the United States in the 2010s. How are you, Simone?
Very good. How are you this morning?
Thank God. Thank God. We're doing well. Thank you for coming on. Before we do into this, there were studies that were done in 1990 and also in 2000 that were conducted by the various federations across North America to determine how many Jews there were and what affiliations they were. And between you and me, all of these studies are very depressing. I mean, it's just like the news is always bad. So are you familiar with all these studies, Rabbi Jacobson?
And not all of them, but quite a number of them. Yeah. About the diminishing numbers and affiliation and all that, assimilation growing, yeah. It's quite depressing, as you put it.
Okay. So now, why is it necessary to have demographic studies? You're a newspaper person. You're on the top of it, and this is definitely considered a newsworthy thing. And it's all over. It was in the Times, and it was even sponsored. This one was sponsored by the Forward. Why are such studies necessary, Simone Jacobson?
Well, first of all, who says they're necessary? We have to first establish. I can tell you this: that in the Torah, the Bible, we do have census taken. And actually, the question is asked there: why do we have the counting of the Jews take place? And it says because God loves them so much, so He counts them all the time. I don't know if that can be applied to the censuses that are being sponsored in our modern times, but that's very uplifting news to know someone cares and loves you, and wants to like a mother counting her children. That's an aside. I mean, look. I don't think the census per se are definitive and should be seen as final say. I think they're like any poll. They always give you this type of thing and say, there's a discrepancy or a potential for
margin of error, yes.
Less. Yeah, let's be honest. How do you count? Let's talk about the Jewish people. How do you even, a Jew has technology, he's a Jew, he's going to be counted. How many people may not even want to identify or even know that they're Jewish? So right there you have a major flaw in any census of Jewish populations, right?
Indeed.
And that's why I think that's why, to me, I was very happy to see this. The more Jews in the world, the better from my point of view. But it reminded me of something very interesting. I remember the Lubavitcher Rebbe, many years ago, was once speaking about the Russian population, Russian Jewish population. And he said, people say there are 3 million, 4 million, some say there are 7, 8, some say more than 10. And even though the Rebbe was not definitive as well, he says it's very possible it's more than 10 million and much more than anyone can imagine. And I remember hearing that, and I thought to myself, there's a very good point. Because especially in Russia, they were invested in not identifying themselves as Jews. Many parents didn't want their children to be discriminated against. And who knows? And Jewish people have been around for thousands of years. There's so many complicated factors. And honestly, I don't even know how we can identify how many Jews there are in the world, or for that matter, in the United States. So with all that said, I think we have to take everything with a grain of salt. But the fact is we have something to talk about, at least, this census. And I don't know the value of it. The value, from my point of view, is if someone's involved in education or wanting to understand, you know, speaking from a marketing and business point of view, you want to know how many people buy are potential shoe buyers. You want to know how many people are potentially Jews who are not receiving a proper Jewish education or not being inspired. So that's where I see the statistics mattering and simply causing us to have a certain sense of urgency of reaching a very waning affiliated Jew. You know, forget about the number of Jews. There's also the affiliation is clearly a major problem and so on. So that was where I would think there would be a value in just being able to look at it that way.
Okay.
What do you think?
Our guest today, if you're just tuning in, is Simone Jacobson, who is the editor-in-chief of the Allgemeine Journal newspaper. And we are talking about the Pew Trust study on demography of the Jews in America. One of the things which seems to be at the forefront in all of the articles that I read about in the study itself is one of the larger numbers in this study is it's estimated that 30% of Jews in America do not consider themselves Orthodox, conservative, reform, renewal, humanistic, et cetera, et cetera. They don't have any affiliation whatsoever. This seems to be like a very shocking statistic to everybody.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, I'm not shocked or surprised, maybe based on my own experience and working with different segments of the population. Remember when I wrote a book, Toward a Meaningful Life, so I had the opportunity to travel across the country. And I was in many bookstores where you meet people that will not come to a synagogue or to any Jewish identified entity like a JCC or something like that. And I was pleasantly surprised that you meet Jews who from all over the place. You know, we're not even talking now, let's say, intermarriage and assimilation where they may not even identify as Jews. But I think a lot of people are really turned off of established religion. I mean, it's very consistent with another statistic, not in this study. Now, you're familiar with the statistic where they say, I think, that 90% of Americans will say they somewhat have some identity with spirituality, and only 40% relate to a religion?
Yeah, I have seen that. That was a while back.
Yeah. So I think it's somewhat similar, perhaps. You know, Jews are seekers. They definitely have spiritual nature. And when they don't see it in their own established systems, at some point, they rebel. You know, some of the most radical isms were founded by Jews because they're seekers historically. So I'm not surprised to hear that Jews are not responding to the denominations that are not speaking to them. I mean, that's my initial take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course it's shocking because everybody wants to be Jews to be affiliated in some way, but they're simply not.
Okay. Now, There was an op-ed piece done, I believe I saw it, on the Allgemeine website, if not mistaken, by Shmuley Bateach, who blamed droll synagogue services, for the most part, for the lack of participation and calling oneself affiliated. What do you think about that, Simone?
I think it's one factor. I will not point my finger just to that. Because, frankly, let's be very honest, the synagogue, and this may be a shocking statement as well, the synagogue was not the center of Jewish life throughout history. The home was, the Jewish home. A synagogue, especially after the destruction of the temple, became far more prominent because it was, in a way, a mini sanctuary. But the Jewish home is where, really, Jewish children were bred, where they grew up with their parents, with grandparents, the Seder table, Purim, the holidays. I think the synagogue perhaps can help, but I think nothing can replace the early stages of formative years of a child, using the Torah's expression, educate a child when they're young, and they will, so even when they get older, they will remain committed. Jewish identity begins very early on. I know many people can send their children to excellent Jewish schools, but if the home is not saturated and permeated with a Jewish spirit, there's a very deep inconsistency going on. It almost becomes academic, like you study Judaism academically. Do you remember that article, New York Times, Noah Feldman's cover story article called Orthodox Paradox?
Yeah, it was a while back.
A few numbers years ago. So Noah Feldman from Harvard went to Maimonides School in Boston, and he wrote this article, scathing attack on modern Orthodoxy, basically saying, I went to Maimonides, and then we had a reunion, briefly, and they printed a picture of the school reunion, and they cut out me and my girlfriend, who happened to be Korean, because she was not Jewish. And he went into a scathing critique of the compartmentalization that he was taught, and why they're now criticizing it. I don't mind what I'm trying to say. I think the culprit, if you were to identify one thing, I think it has to do with the environment at home and the early schooling. Now, synagogues, obviously, are part of Jewish community, no question about it. And an inspiring rabbi, someone that has spirits that touches souls in the synagogue, can definitely make an impact. But then you already, you know, children's people, synagogue is really for adults. Children are mostly impacted in their homes and their schools. So that's my initial comment on that.
What about marketing Judaism? The Lubavitch Rebbe himself, who was on like cutting edge with this, wanted to really make Judaism, you should pardon the expression, cool and hip. Are we that, and that started back in the 50s and the 60s? Are we missing, as the Jewish establishment, missing the point, missing the boat on marketing Judaism?
Yeah, well, I think yes, but I have to qualify the word marketing. Marketing can be a very deceptive word. Marketing is often used in commercial terms. I think we have an excellent product in Judaism. I have to say this. We have a Torah. It's been the basis, not just of Judaism, but of the major religions of the world. Its moral code remains the greatest one, created civilization. It is the best-selling book. The Bible remains the best-selling book. And yet it remains mostly irrelevant to the average Western secular individual. So I think marketing, I would break it into two parts. It's the packaging of the content in relevant terms, and then marketing that and saying, hey, my friends, you have here a system that is, first of all, precedes all others and offers profound emotional, psychological, practical life skills and advice of how to be the best you can be. So I think you need to have the content plus the marketing. You can market and create a cool presentation, but then you have to deliver. I think that the content is often delivered very dryly, very mechanically. We're creating the Woody Allen stereotype of Judaism, the classic one where the atheist niece asks her devout uncle, you're so radical that if you had to choose between God and the truth, which one would you choose? And without missing a beat, he says God. God and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The loaded question. And I think that is a very profound stereotype that exists, and for many good reasons. Religion, for many people, they see a religious Jew or they see anyone affiliated. They don't necessarily see a more refined human being. They see perhaps a more judgmental human being, a more condescending one, holier than thou. And I think that is something that is really damaging because, stereotypes are very hard to undo once a person has been burned. And so I think we have more than just a marketing problem. We have an educational problem, a PR problem. I mean, there are many challenges. But I have to also say, I don't want to sound too negative. There's also a lot of beauty going on. You go to Israel in the United States, there's a lot of classes, a lot of a renaissance. However, it doesn't mean that the numbers add up. There are millions out there, and it's a challenge, what shall I say?
Mm-hmm. Now, If you're just tuning in again, we're talking with Simone Jacobson of Alchemator Journal fame, and we're talking about the Pew Trust on demography of Jews in America. If you ask any rabbi what's the most important holiday, he'll say whatever holiday is coming up next. So we're already done with all the Tishrei holidays, and already coming up to Hanukkah is early. People are already planning on it, and all this stuff is going on about Hanukkah. People don't seem to recognize or realize that the Maccabees, who were considered like the religious ones during that time, were a very small minority. And this is something that happened over 2,000 years ago. And still, we're looking at this. It's always been consistent that Orthodox, meaning those people who are adherents to religious, who keeps, whatever, how they define Orthodox, has been running about 10%. And it may be that that's the way it's always been. So that this study really isn't anything earth-shattering at all. Would you like to comment on that, Rabbi Jacobson?
Judaism has always gone beyond numbers. You know, there's a famous classic Mishnah, the Talmud, that says, when you save a life, you save a universe. When you hurt a life, you hurt a universe. So we all know that Jews have always been the minority in general of the population of the world, and yet have an impact far beyond their numbers. But yet, especially if you think of Jews, and I speak as a Jew, as a brother and sister, so even if I have a million brothers and one brother is lost, so to speak, a lost soul, it still pains me as much just because I have a million others. So I think you need to weigh the two. I don't think we are a numbers game. You know, it's not about selling hamburgers or how many you get. But I think, that classic line where the guy's throwing the clams back into this ocean, and they say, what matters? There's millions of clams. Why are you throwing them back? He says, well, it matters for this one. So I think I was educated and trained that we have to care about every individual and in that sense. And yes, at the same time, a number of people can achieve things that can change worlds, as you said, the Maccabees or other minorities, and just the Jewish people in general. They said disproportionate to their own numbers have achieved. But there's no contradiction in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it says here, I'm looking at the study, a key aim of the Pew Research Center survey is to explore Jewish identity. And what does it mean for a person to identify themselves as Jewish? And give us some very interesting statistics. Remembering the Holocaust, 73% said that. Leading an ethical life, are essential to the sense of Jewishness. More than half say that working for justice and equality is essential to what being Jewish means to them. About 4 in 10 say that caring about Israel and having a good sense of humor are essential to the Jewish identity. Okay, I can understand this thing about a Jewish sense of humor, but it doesn't say anything on any of these studies. I guess maybe the study goes according to the question asked. It doesn't say anything about religiosity or ascribing to beliefs in God or any of that type of thing. Your comment, please, Rabbi Jacobson?
It's quite funny, actually, when I read that as well. The interesting things. Look, Jews are very creative. And as we know, there's what I mentioned earlier, isms. It's one God or another. Some people call God nature. Some people call God communism. Some people call utopia, the age of Aquarius. So, frankly, I'm not stuck in the words. What I was reading there was I was sensing that everybody looks to different things to find their so-called inspiration. You know, let's replace the word God with transcendence. I find that today, for example, young people are drawn to music. And music, when you go to a concert, you see, especially a Grateful Dead one, it's like a religious service. It replaced the cathedral. Talk about synagogues. It's almost like a pilgrimage. So I think...
Wait a minute. Let's stop there. Can I stop you 1 second there? You went to a Grateful Dead concert?
No, I didn't go.
Oh, okay.
But I heard your friends.
Okay, fair enough.
I knew that would get your attention. I've heard from friends. Honestly, I've never went.
Okay.
But when I hear and I see how music captures people, I personally see it for many, it's replacing God. Or maybe it is God in a different form. So I think when there's a void, you know, when people are searching for transcendence and they don't find it in their own backyard, what do they say? How many percent of Buddhists are Jews in America? 40? 50? Who knows what number? You know, so therefore, I saw it almost like not as a positive. I saw it as that the search goes on. Unfortunately, we're not reaching them. I understand perfectly why humor would fit into that category, because many people, humor is transcendent. It takes you out of the status quo. You know, laughs at the life as it is. It's like insights into a deeper perspective. Obviously, it's still not. It doesn't replace a full spiritual discipline. But I sense that's why Jews have a sense of humor and stuff like that. So the study, frankly, can be, you can do a study about the study by understanding how many of us are afraid of using the word God, Judaism, and so on. I'll be very honest. I think, I've not spoken to 7 million Jews, but I think if you ask the average Jew in the street, not relate to God and the Torah and the traditions that an average traditional Jew, even, let's even say, conservative, Reform, Orthodox relates to. I really feel that's the case. So that's what the study reflects. So it's, in that sense, it's a very good reflection of what's going on. And what do you need more? I mean, I know Yom Kippur, the synagogues are full. But besides that, how much affiliation is going on? I've been to places, synagogues, they're empty, basically. You know, you have a few popular ones, but people are going to, they have a lot of alternatives today. So that says the study, I think, is very accurate. I don't know, the numbers may not be perfect, but the overall, it's pretty accurate.
Indeed. Okay, our guest has, this is going to wrap it up for this segment. Our guest has been Rabbi Simon Jacobson, the editor-in-chief of the Allgemeiner Journal newspaper. And we have been talking about the demographic study conducted by the Pew Trust. I want to thank you so much for coming on, Rabbi Jacobson.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
As always. And let's do this more often, and hopefully we can reach all these Jews out there.
We're trying. Yiddle by yiddle, as they say, yes. Okay, that's going to do it. Yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Before we get to the next piece, I've got a couple of public service announcements. This coming Tuesday, the day after tomorrow, October 8th, the Detroit Pistons will be playing Maccabi Haifa. And I was wondering why Haifa specifically, but as it turns out, not that I'm keeping up with Israeli sport, but Maccabi Haifa won the Maccabi League this year, the Israeli League champion. This is 7:30, as I said. And there's a block of tickets which have been picked up by the Jewish Federation of Metropolitan Detroit. To get your tickets, go to pistons.com/Jewish community and use the password Pistons. Tickets are $12 in the upper bowl, $25 in the lower bowl. They have like a whole pre-show, a whole after show. It's a whole big tatadam. You'll go there, you'll see on the website all the things that they have going on over there. That's this 8th. Okay, then we have, coming up, is the 62nd Annual Jewish Book Fair, November 6th through 17th, open to everyone with something for everyone. They'll be featuring Peter Max. Is he still around? Wow. Anyway, Peter Max, Jeffrey Toobin, Florine Mark, Ari Rosenzweig, John Safran, and a whole flock of other people, and that's going to be at the West Bloomfield Jewish Community Center at the corner of Maple Drake, and they also have some stuff going on in the Oak Park Jewish Community Center, which is on West 10 Mile. And for more information, go to Detroit, jccdet.org, and check it out over there. We've got, this is from the latest Moshav Band CD, which it's been a while since I came out with a CD, and this song is Come Back. Thank you.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I actually did some further studying, kind of pinpointed a little more with the Detroit on that study. As it turns out, it had been believed that there was about 63,000 people, 63,000 Jews living in the greater Detroit area. And with this study, we've upped it to about 72,000. Yes. And this is based on a sampling of 1,200 people. So I'm not exactly sure how statistics work, but they can interview 1,200 people and determine that there are 71,000 people in an area. They're magicians. I don't know. Anyway, we have a request for this is from Sarah, who lives in Fleischman Hall up in the West Bloomfield area, and listens to the Jewish Hour every Sunday on WLQV 1500. And she wanted to hear something really old from Naftali Brandwine. Now, it would have to be really old because I believe he passed away in 1951. So that would make it really old. So we've got for you, Sarah, this is from 1929, Naftali Brandwine, King of the Klezmer Clarinet, the Hazel Bulger. Thank you. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Lech Lecha. It can be found in chapter 12 and following of the book of Genesis. And speaking of following, what we're following is the story of Abraham and his sojourning from his home in the Chaldea to the Haran, and then to the promised land of Canaan, which wasn't promised to him, it was promised to his kids. He just got to wander around over there. It's described in Haran where Abraham left. Haran is referred to as Af Shel Olam, the anger of the land. Or you might say, if you could pull a plug out somewhere on earth and all the water would drain out the bottom, that would be what Haran is. It's just really, it's the pits. It was like really very bad. And it says, there's one of the commentaries in the simple interpretation, Rashi, describes that when a righteous person leaves a place, it leaves a trace behind that had an effect, or has an effect on the inhabitants of the city there when there's this sudden void. So Abraham really didn't spend a whole lot of time in Haran. Yet, when you're talking about what a person's able to accomplish, it could very well be that a person doesn't have to be decades in a place to have accomplished lots of things. A person could have accomplished great things just passing through. Likewise, a person could spend decades in a place and accomplish nothing, just sitting on his duff, as we might say. I have a friend who currently lives in Australia, and when he was a very young man, the Lubavitcher Rebbe told him that whenever he finds himself in a place, even if it's just in a passing moment, just in transition, he should look for something positive to do. And I actually went flying with this guy, and in an airport lounge, waiting for a plane, he would suddenly strike up a conversation with somebody and convince that person that they should get more involved with Judaism. He was amazing to watch. I think he had maybe ADHD or something, because he couldn't sit still. Okay, and his motto is, if somebody needs to have something, why should I be sitting still? So Abraham made this very big move to establish ownership of the promised land. It's very one of the interesting things that Benjamin Netanyahu mentioned in his speech at the UN this last week is that the Jews were exiled to Persia, which we call Iran. They still speak Farsi as the language. There's no language Iranian. It's Farsi, which is Persian. Post Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar's regime was conquered by the Persians and Ahasuerus, so Cyrus and his Xerxes II made a pact with the Jews that they could go back and build the second temple. And he said for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, until the modern era, until like the 1940s, the Persians have had a very good relationship with the Jewish people. So here it is now that Abraham was told, go and do something now with the land of Canaan. We have in the last week's portion, who is Canaan? Was Ham's son. He was the cursed of the cursed. Ham, whatever he did, you can look at the story last week, at the end of last week's portion, what Ham did. I'm not going into it now. But Noah cursed him and cursed him that his son Canaan should be a cursed nation. And the land that became the land of Canaan was given to the Canaanites specifically to hold it up so as to keep it from like falling into disrepair, you might say, for the eventuality of the Jewish people coming in. So there's nobody who says that Israel really belongs to the Canaanites. Israel belongs to the Jews. Simple as that. Now, let's not wax in political, but rather we would like to wax in Jewish. We have our own little land of Canaan inside of us. It's that which poses opposition to our land of Israel. And what we have to do is convert the land of Canaan, which is inside of us, that thing that says, go back to sleep, eat too much, waste time, don't bother helping somebody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and convert that into positive. And then we achieve all of the blessings, as I said in the song that we said at the beginning of the show, V'haya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, that your children will be as multiplous and as numerous as the dust of the sand, dust of the earth, and spread out north, east, south, and west. And through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. They're going to bless you and your children as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be back with a Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com. www.RabbiFinman.com. What will you find at RabbiFinman.com? Right in the front page, you have Contact Rabbi Finman, and you can send me a letter, and I answer all my fan mail personally by myself. You'll also find archived editions of the show. You'll find the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, which are other media of which I present Torah and Judaism in a hopefully interesting and entertaining and fun way. And you'll also find the very important donations page. We are in October. Guess what wasn't paid for? September. We're still, they're extending it. They're very good here. Since I've been on air, since I've been on WLQV for 3 years already, so they understand that there's little lulls sometimes and they give me a little slack in here and there, but we still have to pay September. And the Jewish Hour is listener supported. Listeners like you support the Jewish Hour. Go to RabbiFinman.com. Go to the donations page. It's quick. It's easy. No fuss, no muss, no bother. Especially if you have a PayPal account, it'll take you less than a minute to donate to the Jewish Hour. And if you don't have a PayPal account, it'll take you 3 minutes. And you'll be doing something good because if you're listening, that means you want to hear the show. And if you want to hear the show, well, we have to pay our bills and we need you. Don't like doing internet, credit cards, the whole business over there. I understand. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48. 1-800-273-7. I have a story, which told in the right stories actually sounds like a joke. But and it could be, and the problem with jokes is that somebody's going to take a joke the wrong way. Governor Engler told me, remember if you went back him, he once came and did a speech for an organization I was working with. And I asked him afterwards about his presentation. We're just kind of chatting. And he says he doesn't start his presentation with a joke because someone's going to get offended and they lost the person. So this story could be taken as a joke and might offend somebody, but it's not what it's meant for. There was a man who came to the Baal Shem Tov, and he was really very scared. What was the problem? The problem was he hadn't paid his rent in 3 years, and he was worried that he was going to be evicted. So he's making this plaint to the rabbi, asking for his advice and blessing. The rabbi stopped him and said, wait a minute. You haven't paid your rent in 3 years? And suddenly now you're worried about being evicted? When did this thought fall into your head? So the man told him, when I was in the middle of Shemaina Esrei, when I was in the middle of my daily prayers. So the Baal Shem Tov sort of smiled at him and he said, you have nothing to worry about. Your landlord isn't Jewish. He doesn't do daily prayers. Point being, with the story, that we should really be focusing and making our Canaan, into our Israel. And it starts 1 minute at a time. That's going to do it for the hour. We thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again next week. Take care.
You'll be brought to your father's land, and my cries along of a nation man do return.